Alright, good evening. Tonight's shiur is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas Tzvi ben Binyamin, Behemish Mosad Tzvi ben Tzvi HaChayim. Also, we're dedicating tonight's shiur for Refuah Shleima, Yoel Baruch ben Rus, who should have a speedy recovery. This week's Pasha, Pasha's Shlach, which is read after Shavuos, as we're preparing for the months of Tammuz and Av, except this year, Shlach is not Shabbos Mevarchim Tammuz, being that Parshas Noso came before Shavuos, Parshas, the Shabbos of Mevarchim Tammuz gets pushed off a week, not until next week. So we're still in Sivan, and in fact, many did not say Tachan on this past Sunday, and this shul, they didn't even say it Monday, because of the Sfeika Diyama issue. And the reason, as we spoke about last week, is because there are the 7 days of Tashlumin that follow Shavuos. So, in reality, if we count the Tashlumin, Shavuos really ended this week. So, we continue with Shavuos until the end of this week's Parsha. The Parsha, in fact, ends off with the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, and the last pasuk, which is the mitzvah of schilas yitzias mitzrayim, and as the Mishnah tells us in Brachas, maskirin yitzias mitzrayim ba'leilois, which is in the parsha of Tzitzis, because of the last pasuk in parsha of Tzitzis, which is about yitzias mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz mitzrayim li'as lachem le'elokim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is how the parsha ends, and how the parsha of Tzitzis ends, as we say every day. The Gemara tells us in Sotah, daf yud zayin, in the Daf Yomi of the second day Shavuos, that because Avraham Avinu said in Michut ve'atzroich na'al, we were zeichet to the mitzvah of tefillin and tzitzis as a schar. The Gemara asks, tefillin we can understand as a schar in this world, because when the goyim see us wearing tefillin, they're afraid of us, so we benefit from the tefillin even in Olam Hazeh. But how do we benefit from tzitzis in this world? So the Gemara answers, because of the tcheles. The tcheles is similar to the color of the sky, which is the reflection of the ocean, which is a reflection of the sky. Tcheles doyme liyam, v'yam doyme lirokia, v'rokia doyme lechisei hakovoid. And there the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishpatim, which was said at the time of Matan Torah, v'yiru es elekei Yisrael, v'sachas raglov kema'asei livnas hasapir, u'cheetzem hashamayim latoyhar. And then he quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel, which is what we read on the Haftarah of Shavuos, Kamari, Sapir, Kisei. So the Tcheles reminds us of the color of the Kisei HaKavod, which is what Klal Yisrael saw at Matan Torah. And so as we end Parshas Shlach, which, and this week we're completing now the Yemei HaTashlumin of Shavuos, because as we mentioned many times, that the Yontif continues until after the Shabbos that follows, we end off with the Parsha of Tzitzis, which has in it the Tcheles, which reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, which was seen by Matan Torah. And the purpose of the Kisei HaKavod, the purpose of seeing it, I should say, the purpose of the Kisei HaKavod, we don't know, but the purpose of seeing it, the color of it, which the Tcheles reminds us of that, is to bring us to Yiras Shamayim. That's the purpose of the Tcheles. So the Tcheles on the Tzitzis, the color blue, is not just a color, simply a color just to be colorful and to look nice, but the purpose of the color of the Tcheles is to remind us of Kisei HaKavod and to bring us to Yerushalayim. Because the only way that it's possible for one to be Nizhar is if he has Yerushalayim, which the Tcheles reminds us of. And that Yira is what Klal Yisrael developed at Matan Torah. As Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael at the end of Parshas Yisrael, which we read on Shavuos morning. But most of this Parsha doesn't talk about Tzitzis. The Parsha ends with Tzitzis, but most of the Parsha is about the Meraglim, the famous story, which is what led to us having to delay our entrance into Eretz Yisrael by 38 years, and that entire generation died out. According to one man, the Yom, they have no Elam Haba. According to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they do. Pasuk in Tehillim, Isfuli Chasidoi Korse Brisi Ali Zavach, is referring to the Dor HaMidbar. And the Parsha speaks about the mistake, the terrible error of the Meraglim, who were very great people, as the Pasuk says, Kulam Anoshim Rosh Ebenei Yisrael Hema, and the Torah tells us their names. Two did not err, Yehoshua and Kolev, followed in the directives of their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, and they came back with a good report. The rest, the majority, did not. And the majority said that this is not a land for us, we're better off if we stay in the Midbar. In previous years, we went through some of the explanations of that, why they really didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. What really needs an explanation here is, when one learns Parshas Shelach and doesn't know anything else, it would seem that this is a command. By Yidabar Hashem al Moshe Lemur, as most parashiyos begin, and most mitzvahs start off with this introduction of Yidabar Hashem al Moshe Lemur, Shlach Lecha Anashim, send men to go and tour and spy out the land of Yosur, Ves Eretz Kanan, Ashran, Yinoisim, Levnei Yisrael. There is no mention here of what Rashi brings down from Devarim, that there was a story prior to this. Hashem really did not want us to send spies. He wanted us to have total faith in him and go and conquer the land. But they requested, Nishlacha Anoshim Lefoneinu V'yachperu Lanu Es Ha'aretz V'yashivu Es Lanu Dover, as it says in Parshas Devarim, which Rashi quotes here. Atikra V'nelai Kulchem, there was a whole demonstration, a whole massive confusion here. Everyone was pushing and shoving. The young were pushing the old, as Rashi describes in Parashas Devarim Be'eravuvia. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem what to do, and Hashem said, okay, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. But without Rashi, and obviously we can't learn Chumash without Rashi, but in the Torah itself, there's no mention here that there was anything prior to this. The Torah just says, Vayadabar Hashem al Moshe Lema, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, as if to say that this is what was required from them at that time. Hashem wanted that we should send spies. Why doesn't the Torah tell us here what happened before that? Why do we wait till Parshas Devarim to find out that really Hashem did not want us to send the spies? And there was a story that took place before that they asked, and they really shouldn't have asked, and Hashem gave in and said, okay, but I'm warning you, it's going to lead to a terrible disaster. When you learn Parshas Shelach, you don't see that, because the Parsha begins as if this is what Hashem wants. Vayadabar Hashem al Moshe Lemer, Shelach Lecha Anoshim. Well, we go through the names of the Meraglim, who were actually called Torim in this week's parasha. They're called Meraglim in Haftarah, but the minhag is to call them the Meraglim. The Torah enumerates the names of the 12, according to Rabbi Akiva and Yerushalmi, there were 24 Meraglim, Ish Echad, Ish Echad. But the names of the 12 Meraglim here are mentioned, Ruvain, the one who went from Shevet Reuben, his name was Shamua ben Zakur, and of course Yehuda was Kalev ben Yefuna, Ephraim was Hoshea ben Nun, whose name is now changed to Yehoshua. What we notice here, when we go through the names of the Meraglim, that when it comes to Yosef, it says, Lemate Ephraim Hoshea ben Nun. There's no mention of Yosef in this pasuk, even though we know Ephraim is Yosef's son. But then, three psukim later, it says, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. Why here does the Torah tell us that Menashe is part of Shevet Yosef? And if it's necessary to say that he's part of Shevet Yosef, then why not say by Ephraim also, Lemate Ephraim, Lemate Yosef? And if it doesn't have to say it by Ephraim, then it shouldn't say it by Menashe. And yes, normally Ephraim is mentioned before Menashe. That was part of the bracha of Yaakov, that Ephraim will be mentioned before Menashe, by Yosef as Ephraim lefnei Menashe, and here Ephraim is mentioned before Menashe, and it makes sense that he should be, because Lamate Ephraim is Hoshea ben Nun, and he didn't sin, so he should be mentioned first. But why is Yosef not mentioned by Ephraim? The Rokeach.
And why is there a separation between them?
Well, there's a definite separation between them because they were very, very different. Oh, you mean between the other? Yeah, that's also interesting.
The godless of the Shvatim that they listed.
What, the Meraglim here?
Yeah,
the Meraglim here, that's not the order that they're being listed here, because you have Binyamin here before, you have Binyamin, then Zvulun, then Yosef, then Don, then Osher. That's a separate issue. Why are they mentioned in this order that they're mentioned here?
The two sons are mentioned.
Regardless of the Shvatim themselves. No, yeah, but that can't be either, because...
No, regardless of the Meraglim.
The Meraglim.
Yeah, but you have here... but you have Kolev mentioned before, Hoshea ben Nun. Okay, that could be. Okay, but the point we're making here now is not about that. Another issue. Well, you're gonna, if you say that, then comes out Shamua ben Zakur was the greatest.
He's the greatest
of the Meraglim. Yeah, right. He's the greatest, but he sins. He's not as great as Yehoshua ben Nun. He's not as great as Kol ben Yefuna.
He had a fatal flaw.
Okay, you mean now he's right. The greatest. Rosh ben Yisrael Haima. Okay. So the Rokeach tells us, it was one of the Kadmonim, that the reason why it mentions Yosef's name by Menashe and not by Ephraim is because that adds to the story. Yosef was Motzi Diba on his brothers. This is what the Rokeach says. I wouldn't say this, but this is what the Rokeach says. That Yosef, by Yoveh Yosef as Dibosom Ro El Avihem. Yosef was Nichshal Kaviyochel in some way in Loshon Hara, in Hotzoaz Diba, in Loshon Hara. And as a result, his descendant from Menashe, Gadi ben Susi, also was Nichshal in Hotzoaz Diba, by Motzie Dibas Ha'oretz Ro, as the Pasuk describes them here, that they slandered Eretz Yisrael, just as Yosef slandered his brothers. And so it says Yosef's name only by Menashe, not by Ephraim. Because Hoshea ben Nun, who comes from Ephraim, who also comes from Yosef, but he didn't follow in the footsteps of Yosef in that area. The Chidah says differently. The Chidah says, no, the Torah is trying to tell us how this person fell so low that despite that he comes from Yosef, who loved Eretz Yisrael, and said, and he comes from Menashe, who the Benos Tzlovchot originate from Menashe, who loved Eretz Yisrael. Still, he slandered Eretz Yisrael. So the Chidah has a different take on this. But according to the Rokeach, which we'll stick with that, the reason why it says Yosef by Menashe is because of the issue of Hotzoaz Diba. Yosef was Nichshal, and because of that he had to be in jail. Yosef suffers. Yosef, who is the epitome of Shmiras HaBris, he's the Yesod. But that's why he suffers in jail, because of his Hotzoaz Diba. Precisely because of his greatness, like we mentioned last week about Miriam. Precisely because he's supposed to be the most careful in this area, that's why he suffers as a result of his Hotzoaz Diba on his 10 brothers, and that causes later the Vayafozu Zeroya Yodav, as Chazal tell us, that 10 Tipin that came out of Yosef, whatever that means, no one understands really. So here, by the Meraglim, who are Nichshel and Hotzoaz Diba, as Rashi says, that's why the Parsha is taught right after the story of Miriam, that they didn't learn Musa from Miriam. They saw what happened to Miriam. Shaloksa al iske diba shadibra b'achiha. She spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw what happened to her, and they didn't learn a lesson. And so, says the Rekeach, the name of this individual, who perhaps the names that the Torah tells us here, the Meraglim, according to the Gemara, wasn't really their real names necessarily. We know that Kolev's father was not called Yefuna, his real name was Chetzron. He was called Yefuna because Pona Me'atzas Meraglim, because he turned away from the plot of the Meraglim. So that wasn't really his father's name. And so many other names here might not have been their real names either. So the Rokeach says, Gadi ben Susi. Gadi, he says, is the Gedi Izim. When Yosef was sold, by Yishchatu, they shechted a goat. Gadi is equal to 17, he says, because Yosef was 17 when this happened. Ben Susi, he was sold to the Mitzriim, who are compared to horses. As it says in Yecheskel, in Kapitel Chav Gimel, the Zirmas Susim Zirmosam. At the Mitzriim, Ashtufe Zima, they're very immoral, and they're like horses, because it says the horse is the most, of all the animals, the most that is Shotef in Zima, as Rashi tells us in Yecheskel. We find that's why a king is not allowed to have a lot of horses, because horses originate from Mitzrayim. So he shouldn't go back to Mitzrayim to want to get more horses. In fact, in Zechariah, we're told, it's one of the nevuahs of the Messianic era, the hichrat, that susim will be removed from Yerushalayim. There'll be no horses in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not a place for horses. Horses don't belong in Yerushalayim. Horses belong in Mitzrayim. And obviously, what this means, the Pnimius, is that what the horse represents does not belong in Yerushalayim. It belongs in Mitzrayim. Yes, Mitzrayim is one with horses. Sus v'reichvei rama v'ayom. The Torah enumerates over and over again how the Mitzrayim drowned with their horses. Why does the Torah have to tell us all the time that they drowned with their horses? What difference does it make? What animal they were riding on? Because Mitzrayim and Susim go together. And this Meragel in particular, who's from Yosef, from Menashe, is called Gadi ben Susi, because he is compared to Susim, to Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim, which was under the rule of Paroi, which is Pera, the Mitzrayim is the opposite of Yerushalayim and Chevron, as we'll see shortly, which are the cities that the only way we can be zochet to those cities is by leaving Mitzrayim completely. Not only physically, we have to leave. The Tumah of Mitzrayim is mentioned many times. The Tumah of Mitzrayim, which is the Tumah of Znus, the Tumah of Pegam HaBris, which is Pegam HaPeh, Pegam HaLashon, because those two go together. One cannot be a Shomer Bris if he's not a Shomer Lashonai. What do we say in Tehillim, in Kapitul Amidal? We say it every Shabbos. L'chu v'anim shimuli yiras Hashem al ametchem. Miho ishechof etzchayim oev yomim l'roz. Nitzol l'shoynecho meira. Usfasecho midaber mirma. That's the key. Yiras Hashem is followed by shmiras haloshen. Because if one is not yorei shemayim, he doesn't care what he says. Well, who cares what I say? Who's listening anyway? What difference does it make? Yiras Hashem precedes nitzol l'shoynecho meira. And the only way that it's possible for an Atzar L'Shaynach Meira is if there's Yira Shemayim. Mitzrayim has no Yira. In Mitzrayim there is no fear. Yerushalayim is Yira Shalem. Yerushalayim is the city of fear. That's why it's called Yerushalayim. In order to get to Yerushalayim, you have to leave Mitzrayim. This parsha is the parsha that talks about Kibush Eretz Yisrael. This is the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. Shlach lecha anoshim v'yosuru es Eretz Kena'an. Who's Kena'an? Why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz Kena'an? Kena'an is one of the four sons of Chum. Chum had four children. Cush, Mitzrayim, Phut, and Kena'an. Chum is the epitome of Pegam HaBris and Pegam HaLashon. Chum shimesh b'teva, as the Gemara says. Vayar es ervas ovi vayageid l'shnei echov b'chutz. He sees, he castrates his father, or some say, the other chet that he did, he had relations with his father. Chum is the epitome of the tumah of Mitzrayim, the tumah of Zirmasusim, Zirmasam. And not only that, but he talks about it. He went and told his brothers, Vayageid b'shneiach of Bachot. He's not ashamed of it. He makes a parade about it, like we see today. That those who are nichshal, you would think they'd run away in shame. Not only that, but they're so proud of it. They want everyone to know about it. They want to enact it as law. That's how far the chait, that's how far the generation has fallen. And Chum is, it starts with Chum. Chum is from the Lashon Chamimus. He's intense excitement for chet. And Chum's children, Mitzrayim, Cush, Kenan, took after him in that respect. Kenan is where all the Avodim originate. All the Avodim, Avdu Behefkeiro Nichele, as the Gemara says. Avodim, that's what they want. That's what kind of life they live. And Eretz Yisrael at that time was taken over by these individuals, by these nations, the Canaanites, the seven nations that all are descendants of Chum, brothers of the Mitzrayim. And Klal Yisrael had to go there and conquer the land and take it away from them, because Eretz Yisrael, which originally was divided to be among the children of Shem, as Hashem says to Avram Avinu, L'zaracha nasati es ha'oretz hazois, L'zaroi shel Shem. Avram, who comes from Shem, and his children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael, which was originally divided by Noach, that those of Chum are supposed to get Africa. But instead, they were taking over Eretz Yisrael, and they took over Eretz Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael had to go to Eretz Yisrael and conquer it from the seven nations, and elevate it, and remove the Tumah of Mitzrayim, the Tumah of Canaan, from Eretz Canaan, and make it Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, were B'nai Yisrael at that time worthy to do it? And what happens here proves that they were not. The fact that they fell in this area, the fact that they were meraglim, the fact that they were motzi diba, just as Chum, Vayage, L'shnei Echov, Bachutz, which means the Tumah of Mitzrayim was not yet fully removed from them. They were still attached to the horses, Gadi ben Susi. This whole story here, in fact, is what leads to all the Goliyos, because as a result of what happens here, was the Chasima, the Gezar Din. The Mishnah says in Erechim that because of the Maisa HaMeraglim, Nechtam Gezar Din al Klal Yisrael, Vayanasu Oisi Zeh Eser Pe'omim V'Leishom V'Bekoili, and now that's it. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of this, we suffered later in Golis as well. In fact, the Baal HaTurim hints in the name of the Parsha, Shin Lamed Ches, that's the year that the Churban took place. The Churban happened in the year 3338, Gimel Shin Lamed Ches. If not for this story of this week's Parsha, there wouldn't have been a Shin Lamed Ches. There wouldn't have been a Churban. We wouldn't have had to go through Bavel, Yavon, Modai, and Edoim. Gadi Ben Susi is Begematria, Bavel, Yavon, Modai, and Edoim. It starts here. And of all Shvatim, it's from Yosef HaTzadik, that from Yosef, who was Moitzi Diba on his brothers, comes Gadi Ben Susi and joins with the Meraglim, which we're comparing him to Ben Susi, to Mitzrayim, Zirma Susim, Zirmosam, and that because of this, Klal Yisrael was not yet fit to enter Eretz Yisrael. However, Ephraim was Misakeh the Chet of Yosef. In Ephraim, from Ephraim comes Hoshea ben Nun, and Hoshea ben Nun, Yehoshua, of course, did not slander Eretz Yisrael, and his reward is that he becomes the one who conquers Eretz Yisrael. And so with Kolev. Kolev is the husband of Miriam, the Gemara says. Kolev married Miriam. By Miriam, it says, Vatedaber Miriam v'aharon b'moshe. Vatedaber is b'gematria bris. Miriam's pagam was rectified because Miriam had Saras, she does tshuva, Klal Yisrael waits for her, and Miriam is now part of Klal Yisrael. Kolev, her husband, goes even further. And Kolev seems to be joining the Meraglim, that's why he was able to quiet them down later on, Vayahas Kolev Esa'am, because he spoke Echad Bepeva, Echad Belev. On the outside he seemed to be with them, but on the inside he was not. Ruach Acheres Hoysa'imo, as Rashi says, he made believe. He was like, he was playing the game with them. Normally, we don't think very highly of someone who's echad bepev, echad belev. A person is supposed to be the way he is on the inside, on the outside, on the outside, on the inside. He's not supposed to be two people. Right, very similar, and similar, right, very similar, yeah. And the idea is, the Meraglim, unfortunately, fell into the foolishness. They fell into the sheker of Canaan, where Sheker, we know, can only exist if there's a little emes. Sheker cannot exist without emes. They said, Zabas Chobav Udvash, he, yes, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, there's no question about it. Efes ki azha, but, and that's where the downfall begins. So Rashi says, because Kol Dvar Sheker, She'en Bo Emes, B'tchilosa Yena Miskayim. It's Sheker, but it's coated with emes. It's like the poison that's coated with the sweet, with the sugar. So it looks good on the outside. Sheker is coated with emes. What Kolev did was, Kolev was emes. He just coated his emes with sheker in order to be able to deal with the sheker of the Meraglim, in order to be able to deal with the sheker of Canaan, which sometimes it is necessary, since we do live in an Olam HaSheker, that sometimes it's necessary to use sheker in order to come to emes. There are those who use the emes to come to sheker. And by tzaddikim, they'll use the sheker to come to emes. That's what Kolev did, which was a tremendous, very risky thing. That's why Kolev, it says, went to be mispallowed by the kever of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why don't we find that Yehoshua did that? Because Yehoshua was quiet. Yehoshua didn't deal with the sheker. Yehoshua didn't say anything to indicate that he was on their side at all. But Kolev did. So what Kolev did was very risky. So Kolev had to go to be mispallowed, and he went to Chevron, which Chevron is the opposite of Mitzrayim. The pasuk itself tells us, "V'chevron sheva shanim nivnaso lefnei tzayan Mitzrayim." Chevron is built 7 years before Mitzrayim. Chevron is seven times more beautiful than tzayan Mitzrayim, as Rashi tells us. Chevron is the opposite of Mitzrayim. Chevron is from the word chibur, the city that connects us. Where was the bris that Avraham Avinu made with Hashem? Where did it take place? In Chevron. The first bris milah takes place in Chevron. That's the city of Shmiras HaBris. That's why Kolev is Zoicha to Chevron. The reward that Kolev receives here for not slandering Eretz Yisrael, for not talking ill about Eretz Yisrael, for guarding himself, for being Shoyma Berisai, and not being Moitzi Diba, said his reward is that he receives the city of Chevron, which is the city where the first bris takes place. Not only the bris milah takes place there, but that's the city where Hashem promises Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu and to future generations till today. And there the Torah indicates straight out that Eretz Yisrael is only in the schus of bris milah. That's what it's being given to us. It's being given to us in the schus of bris milah, which is why it was necessary to have the massive bris milah when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time with Yehoshua ben Nun, who incidentally, he was the Moel. Yehoshua ben Nun was the Moel when they entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time, as it says in Sefer Yehoshua. So here the Torah tells us that Kolev runs to Chevron. It's not just that he was going to be mispalled by the kever of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Of course, that's where he was going. But also, he went to the city of Chevron, that the city of Chevron itself should help him out. Because the city of Chevron is the total opposite of Mitzrayim. The total opposite of the horses. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Al tihiyu kesus kefered. It's interesting, in Yiddish, a horse is called a ferd. In the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Al tihiyu kesus kefered. A ferret is really a mule. But Mefarshim say, it doesn't say, Al tihiyu kesus u kefered. It's Al tihiyu kesus kefered, because a horse is a parrot. A parrot comes from the word, parrot means separated. It separates you from Hashem. Those who act like the horses, those who act like Mitzriim, are disconnected. Al tihiyu kesus kefered. While Chevron is from the word Chibur, Chevron connects. That's why the first Jew connected himself to Hashem in a Bris Olam, Brisi B'Sarchem, which is why we are Zoichet to Eretz Yisrael, and that's where Kolev runs. Kolev runs to Chevron, and because he does not join with the Miraglim, he makes believe he's with them, but he's not, Vayas Kolev Es Ha'amel Moshe, so his reward is that he is Zoichet to Chevron. If we look at the last Rashi in the parasha, the last Rashi where it talks about tzitzis, which tzitzis is the mitzvah that protects us from not looking where we shouldn't. V'loisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem is in the parasha of tzitzis. When we look at the tzitzis, it protects us. We take the tzitzis and we put them over our eyes. We don't see. We shouldn't look at things the wrong way. The Meraglim perceived it the wrong way. V'sham ra'inu b'nei anok min hanefilim, v'anehi b'eineinu kach agovim, v'chein ha'yinu b'eineihem. Everything they saw wrong. Instead of looking at Eretz Yisrael in a positive light, they looked at it negatively. And because they were poigem in their re'iyah, they were poigem in their dibur, and as the Pasuk says, they said, nitna roish v'nashuva mitzroima, which Rashi says was a lashon of avodah zarah. It led to apikursis, it led to minus. V'loisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. Levavchem is minus, as Chazal tells us. Einechem is nus. And when it talks about the chet hameraglim, the Torah actually calls it znus. The Torah says, v'nosu es znuseichem b'amidbar. Where was there znus here? There was no znus here. They just spoke ill about Eretz Yisrael. V'neichem yihiyu roim b'amidbar arboim shana. V'nosu es znuseichem. What kind of znus? Znus doesn't have to be necessarily immorality. They looked at things, looking at things the wrong way is nus. That's what nus is. And tzitzis is protection from that. And in fact, Rashi brings down the pasuk. V'loisasuru achrei levavchem, k'may mitur ha'aretz. V'loisasuru, similar to the word v'yasuru es eretz kanan. Ha'lei v'ha'einayim hei meraglim l'guf. The heart and the eyes are the body's spies. The eye sees, the heart desires, and the body does the averis. Which is one of the reasons why the parasha of tzitzis is in the parasha, which talks about the meraglim. And at the end of the parasha, when it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceichem Yaschem Eretz Mitzrayim, so Rashi says, why does tzitzis have four corners? Keneged v'esho eschem al kanfei nesharim, al arba kanfeis, dalud l'shoynes shel ge'ula. And then he tells us something very interesting here. That tcheles, he says, tcheles in Aramaic means to destroy, and it's a remez to the destruction of the Bechorei Mitzrayim, Makas Bechoreis, and the Makkah was at night when the sky is very blue. V'chein seba ha-tcheles is doim l'rokia ha-mashchir le'es erev. The color of tcheles is similar to the sky when it gets dark, evening time. And then he says, the eight threads, the shmoina chutim, are connected the 8 days that Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, until they said Shira by the Yam, were 8 days. Because he's counting Erev Pesach, he's counting the day they brought the Korban Pesach, as Mefarshim say. What does this have to do with the tzitzis? What is the fact that it was 8 days from when they left Mitzrayim, or the day before that, till they said Shira by the Yam, what does it have to do with Tzitzis, and what does it have to do with this week's parasha? But based on what we're saying before, it's very much connected. And that is, when the Klal Yisrael came to the Yam Suf, they said Shira al Hayam, they were zoicha to sing before Hashem, something which they could not do before. When they were in Mitzrayim, as the Sfasema says, the Dibur was in Golus. They couldn't cry, they couldn't daven, they couldn't praise Hashem, because as Chazal tell us, they were nichshal in Lashon Hara. There was dilturia among them. Ochei noida hadavar. But when they left Mitzrayim, and they did tshuva, and they worked on their Shmiras HaDibur, Shmiras HaPeh, Shmiras HaLoshon, they left Paroi, who was Peh Ra. Vayar Yisrael as Mitzrayim, Meisal Sfas Hayam. Mitzrayim is now dead. And that was 8 days after Erev Pesach, when they came to the Yam. Vayiru HaMes Hashem, they reached this level of Yira, they left Mitzrayim, they're now able to fear Hashem properly. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Rabbeinu, they believe in Hashem and they believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, something which the Meraglim did not. The Meraglim certainly did not have the necessary amuna in Moshe Rabbeinu, because if they totally believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, this wouldn't have happened. And as a result of Ayiru Ames Hashem, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdai, Oz Yashir Moshe, B'nai Yisrael say Shira. They're now able to sing. They reach this level of Shmiras HaPeh, which they did not have in Mitzrayim. And that's what Gadi Ben Susi and all the Meraglim here were Nichshal in this area. They were still not Zoiche to complete Shmiras HaPeh, Shmiras HaLoshon, Shmiras HaBris, and therefore they're not ready for Eretz Yisrael. They have to stay in the Midbar for another 40 years. And Klal Yisrael, who sent them, who listened to them, were also not roy, obviously, for Eretz Yisrael. In order to enter Eretz Yisrael, you have to prove that you've left Mitzrayim. You have to prove that you're able to sing and praise Hashem. You have to be able to prove that you're no longer avodim to Mitzrayim. They were still avodim to Mitzrayim. The fact that they were able to slander Eretz Yisrael, the fact that they were able to talk ill about Eretz Yisrael, Chevron included, and they believe that it wasn't for them, so it wasn't for them, and they can't enter Eretz Yisrael now. The fact, however, that the Torah writes it in such a way, as if to say that this is what Hashem really wanted, the Torah does not preface the story with the introduction that Klal Yisrael came first and asked. And we know that the Torah is eternal, the Torah is Nitzchias, and every parasha is for every generation. So what are we who learned this parasha, and we didn't get up to Devarim yet? In Tavshin Samaches, we have not yet reached Parshas Devarim. So we're learning Shlach for the first time, because every year you learn the parashas like as if you never learned it before. B'chol yom yihyu be'enecha chadoshim. So when we start this parasha, and if we didn't learn Rashi right away, so it sounds like Hashem is actually sending us to go and spy Eretz Yisrael. And then the answer is yes, because that's really, the parasha is really talking about the shlichus of every single Jew. Every Jew is a shliach. Every Jew is an agent of Hashem. A shliach has to be loyal. A shliach has to be ne'eman to the one who sent him. There's all halachas of shlichus in Gemara. But every yid is a shliach. The name of the parasha is Shlach. Every yid is sent to this world. And this world is a very difficult world. Compared to where we were before, the world is full of sheker. And like the Meraglim said, Amalek Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev. It's true. Az ha'am he'orim b'tzurais g'dayleis ma'oid. A lot of glitter out there. V'gam yilidei ho'anok ra'inu sham. Haknani Yoshev al hayam v'al yad hayardein. There's a big world out there. A world that is anti-Torah, anti-Hashem. Especially today. And the sheker is certainly much more powerful than the emes, much more enticing than the emes, especially today. Most are drawn to the sheker of the world. How many people really are looking for emes? The sheker is much more exciting, it's much more interesting. And that's what the Meraglim were afraid of. The Meraglim were afraid of the sheker. They saw so much sheker in Eretz Yisrael, they were afraid, we're not going to be able to overcome the sheker. Let's just stay in the Midbar and be totally isolated, not to deal with the outside world, which is what Mepharshim said that was really going on here. These were great tzaddikim. They were afraid. Kolev and Yehoshua insisted, no, Oloi na'alevi orashnu oisa. Ki yochel nuchalo, you can. Hashem has given us the koichos. Hashem gave us the strengths and the potential to be able to overcome the sheker. And Kalev knew, because Kalev himself is dealing with the Sheker here. He's also acting, Echad Bepeva, Echad Balev, he's dealing with the Sheker, and he overcomes the Sheker. And this is really the shlichus of every Jew. The parasha is set up in such a way that as if it's a command. Shlach lecha anoshim v'yasuru es eretz kenan. Go into the land. V'yasuru is from the word yisroin. See the advantage of the eretz, of the artsius. There's an advantage to dealing with the materialism, with the physical world, and elevating it. Not separating from it, but elevating it. Well, the Meragim didn't want to do that. They didn't feel that they can. They felt that if anything, what's going to happen is the land is going to consume us. Eretz oichelus yoishvei, the pasuk says. The land consumes its inhabitants. We're going to fall prey to the artsius. We're going to become like the gluttons, like these big giants that they saw. And then there's so much food and so many restaurants and everyone's into eating and all the physical pleasures of this world. We're so used to living a life. We've been sheltered from this. We only ate man. We only drank the Be'er of Miriam. We were surrounded by clouds. We were sheltered from the outside world. We never saw any newspapers. We never saw what's going on in the outside world. Now we have to go and look at and see everything that's going on. How can we deal with this? And they had a very good point. But Hashem wanted otherwise. Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader of the generation. We listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're supposed to follow Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Begematria Taryag, as the Sfarim tell us. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of the generation. He included all the 613 mitzvahs. And not listening to him is equivalent, it's the same like one who violates all 613 mitzvahs. That's why the mitzvah of tzitzis, that's the only mitzvah that we have that reminds us of all the 613 mitzvahs. L'man tizkeru v'asisen es kol mitzvaysai, that's the rectification for their rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu b'gematria taryag. And speaking ill about Eretz Yisrael, which as the Arvei Nachal tells us, that every part of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to another halacha in the Torah. So if you despise Eretz Yisrael, you despise the Torah. Because every part of Eretz Yisrael is a different halacha. As it says in Navi that it was Kalev who offered his daughter in marriage to the one who conquers the city known as Kiryas Sefer, and no one was able to do it. Mefarshim ask, how is he so confident that the one who's going to conquer the city will be someone that he'd want his daughter to marry? And who was it? It was his stepbrother, Asniel ben Kenaz, who, as the Gemara says, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But the Arvei Nachal explains that portion of that city in Eretz Yisrael corresponded to certain halachas that everyone forgot. And the only way you can conquer that part of Eretz Yisrael is by conquering those halachas. Those were the 3,000 halachas that were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, as the Gemara says in Temur. So the Arvei Nachal says, from there you see that every part of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to different halachas. So Kolev knew, if anyone's going to be able to conquer that part, it has to be someone who knows the 3,000 halachas. So obviously, it's someone he wants for his daughter to marry. And that was Asniel ben Kenaz. So the fact that the Meraglim and most of Bnei Yisrael who joined them despised the Eretz Chem, that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, which Eretz Yisrael is the Torah, Eretz Yisrael is all the Tayag mitzvahs. That's why it was so severe what they did. And that's why at the end of the parasha we have the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is the mitzvah that is given to us to remind us of all tayag mitzvahs. The goal is that I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. That's the end of the parasha. The last pasuk is, I took you out of Mitzrayim. That's the only way that it's possible. The only way that it's possible to go into Eretz Yisrael is if you're out of Mitzrayim. If you're not out of Mitzrayim, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. And if you are still nichshal in v'lo yisasuru achru levavchem v'achru einaychem, if Mitzrayim, which is the country that is compared to Susim, Zirma Susim, Zirmasim, is still a part of you, then obviously you can't enter Eretz Yisrael. And actually, this is the shlichus of every yid. Every yid is sent to this world on a mission, just as the Meraglim was sent. And if they would have followed exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu would have told them, what Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do, and they wouldn't have veered off course, they wouldn't have given their opinions, but just said what they saw, and believed that Moshe Rabbeinu and had the proper betochen that they should have, that they'll be able to conquer the land, they would have. And Yehoshua and Kalev passed the test. It's not like they all sinned. Yehoshua and Kalev did not. The same thing, like, not everyone completes their mission in life, unfortunately. Not everyone fulfills that which they're supposed to in their shlichus. Not everyone does. The Meraglim didn't. Yehoshua and Kalev did. The Torah, therefore, wrote it in such a way without telling us the introduction, because this is also a lesson, not only in the actual story of the Meraglim, because the Shlichus of the Meraglim is a lesson in our Shlichus. In our Shlichus of dealing with the artsy, is dealing with the outside world, dealing with the Sheker. And just as we see here, Kolev had to run to Kever Avos. Moshe was mispalef Yahushua. That means in our daily life, in order to be able to accomplish the mission that we were sent here to do, in order to be able to deal with the outside world and the sheker of this world, what's required is a lot of davening. If Kolev had to daven, certainly we have to daven. Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven for Yahushua, so we have to have a godel to go to the daven for us, whoever it is. Just as they did then. Tehillim, Perek Mem Gimel, David HaMelech writes, Shalach oirecha v'amitcha hema yanchuni. He uses the word shlach. Send your light and your truth. Rashi says the light is Mashiach ben David and the truth is Eliyahu HaNavi. David is a descendant of Kolev, as the Gemara says in Saita. Kolev not only is Zaycha to Chevron, but David HaMelech rules over Klal Yisrael for the first 7 years of his reign in Chevron and then in Yerushalayim. These two cities together, Chevron and Yerushalayim, the gematria Mashiach ben Milu'oi, Chevron ve Yerushalayim, these are the two cities where David ruled. These are the two cities that Klal Yisrael were traveling. The goal was to get to Chevron and eventually to Yerushalayim, just like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu first travels to Chevron, then he goes to the Akedah, which is in Yerushalayim, when he totally leaves Mitzrayim. These two cities are the opposite of Mitzrayim, the opposite of Kena'an, the opposite of Zirmasusim Zirmasim. And the only way to get there, the only way to get to Chevron, the only way to get to Yerushalayim is by leaving Mitzrayim. And that's the lesson of the parasha as we leave the Yom Tov of Shavuos and the Tashlumen of Shavuos, and we go into the difficult period of the year where we have to deal with the Sheker that exists in the months of Tammuz and Av. We have to know that we can overcome it. We can deal with it. We can inherit the land, as Kolev says, and Mietz Hashem, we don't make the same mistake that the Meraglim made. We will be zeicha to shlach eirecha v'amitcha, and to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael b'shleimus, be able to enter Yerushalayim, be able to go to Chevron. And what happened here in this parasha, which was the mistake that the Meraglim made, but when we enter Eretz Yisrael together with Mashiach, of course that mistake will not be made. We will conquer the land. The land will be ours. It's ours now too, but then it will be recognized as ours, and we'll be zeichet to the Geula HaMitis VaHashleima. May it be immediately, and we should be zeichet before the fast days, that all the fast days of Tammuz and Av should be Nishapech, Yomim Tovim, and Mayadim Tovim.